Okay, we're going to start to move back. So it's good. The energy is moving. That's a wonderful thing. Someone shared something that reminded me, of, at least it's my belief. And Father Thomas talks a lot about the communion of saints and that whole movement. I believe that the more we consent to our own healing in this journey, you are changing the genetic load going forward and the one you carry with you. So this journey, and what is so incredibly inspiring to me, is those of you that have children and grandchildren and maybe greats. I have 9 greats right now, great nieces and nephews. The more we say yes and allow ourselves to be healed, you're changing their pathways. And for some of us that have walked forward and carried some of the brokenness that may have come down through the generations, by your consenting, that's the communion of saints. We're healing each other. So they're on the other side supporting us that we can now heal it and change the direction. So keep going. And it's not about frivolous or just being happy. What you are allowing yourself or God to do in you will have a direct impact. The Navajo Nation taught 7 generations out. So you might not see it, doesn't matter. But what you are doing is setting a pathway for those that follow up behind us. So here's where welcoming kind of comes into the dance. Those of you in relationship or partnership of a committed level, have you found the difference between intention and consent? Intention is the choice of the will. That's when you stood up and said, "I do." Consent is how you deal with that first thing in the morning, or last thing at night, or as you walk it out. Consent is the action that manifests the choice. So in centering prayer, we talk a lot about intention and consent. So one of the things that I ask you to be with in your own heart will be, what is your intention? You have to kind of know what's your intention. We talked last night, I was sharing about when I talked to Thomas, and he shared that divine union is our birthright. So that's my intention. So consenting is to continue to show up through these practices. In welcoming, it's very helpful to have that big intention to say yes, because in the midst of consent, you might forget your intention. Have you ever forgotten your intention of "I do"? Remember? They were all real shiny. They were shiny and cleaned up, and you were there, "Oh, I do, I do." But where the rubber meets the road is how it's lived out. And welcoming is at the service of that. So sometimes it's good to step back and just look at the big intention, because you might lose it in the midst of the daily grind. The first movement of the welcoming prayer is the most important one, and I also think it's the most misunderstood of them all. So I'd like to spend the most time on it, because this is a simple little prayer practice. We'll experience it in a group. I'm going to ask you to keep practicing all day and let the Spirit teach you. But in 12-step circles, a lot of people talk about let go and let God. You know, they do bumper stickers, they do coffee mugs, let go and let God. But you ask somebody, so what were you letting go of? And they tell you the story and they get mad all over again. Have you ever seen that? You know, like, "Oh, I let go of that." "Well, what happened?" "Well, this one is this, and they were a total jerk, and they were this and that." And what I find is when I've really let go of something, you ask me what happened, and I don't really remember. That's how I know for me. When I can still give you the blow by blow, there's something holding still in there. The reason that let go and let God is so difficult for many of us is that we forget that the first step is to pick it up. I cannot let go of something I do not own. And a lot of pieces I shared last night, that's where that process comes in for me. I refuse to own. Are you angry?
No, I'm not mad.
Well, you can't work with anger if you're not mad. Right? Welcoming's gift is you're not asked to intellectually figure out what's going on. And that's very helpful for those of us. I'm a very quick emotional intellectual processor. I was a quick student. I am super slow emotionally. I'm a very slow emotional processor. So if you ask me to figure out what I'm feeling, I don't know yet. Or it may change, or that's hard. If you ask me, what is 2 + 2? It's 4. You know what I mean? I'll get into this, like this kind of processing. It's kind of the hare and the tortoise race in me. So emotionally, that little turtle's just dragging around, and the bunny's running all around out there. The gift of welcoming is I don't have to get out there. I stay with just what are you feeling. So it's feeling into, and I use the breath, breathing into whatever it is I'm experiencing in this warehouse of the unconscious at the moment. So maybe you have a headache, maybe you have arthritis, maybe your back hurts from sitting, maybe you're tired, maybe your foot hurts, and it doesn't have to be hurt. Maybe you have some tension or tightness, maybe that there's a certain area that's cold or hot. It's whatever you're physically experiencing is the quickest way to enter welcoming. Because the body doesn't lie. When I first was into welcoming and living in community, all I knew was I had this radiating heat every day after we met in my solar plexus area. It took me approximately a month to identify. That's what rage feels like. But I had a commentary, those little stories we tell ourselves, that women particularly, but good girls didn't get mad. Well, I'm a 1 on the Enneagram. Anger is my life force energy. So I was just so screwed up because intellectually I could not own that. But the gift of welcoming was I didn't have to get into all that. Do I have a right to feel this? Is this the appropriate response? I didn't have to get into that dialogue at all. All I could tell you was, there's something going on here. So you feel and breathe into whatever it is you're experiencing. Without judgment, without comment, you don't have to do anything. You're just asked to feel it. And as I say, I begin to focus, feel, and sink into, Thomas puts it this way, as if you're getting into a jacuzzi. Just allow yourself to get into it. So let's take a moment. Just take a few deep breaths. How's that body feeling? What's going on? Just allow your awareness to do a body scan. And whenever you're aware of any sensation, move right towards it. And just allow yourself to feel into what you're experiencing. Are your eyes tired? Can you feel the weight of your body on the chair? What about your spine? How's your stomach? Just bringing your full attention. And then just let it be. And when you're ready, just bring your eyes back to the front. Could you find something to feel? If you can't, one way to practice this, because we're having centering prayer, is to picture a person or a situation in your life that is troublesome to you. And allow yourself to think of that for 30 to 60 seconds, okay? Just to visualize them. Then come into your body. You're not focusing on them, but you're seeing what they may be carrying. If you're having difficulty, if something is speaking to you, great. But if not, think of that one person or situation that's kind of trying for you, okay? So, what the first movement does is it allows me to pick it up. This is what I'm doing, and this is why I say the first movement is the most important, because without it, it's just words. But when I pick it up, I am ready to welcome it. And this is kind of what the movement is. It's to welcome it. The little book, Abandonment to Divine Providence, it's an old one, but it's a classic. And in it, he says, there is never a moment when God does not come forward. And everything that happens within us, around us, and through us both hides and includes that activity. So what we are saying when we really consent is that God's here. I'm not a grease spot, regardless of the psychological content of the moment, regardless of the physical pain or discomfort or excitement, whatever it is I'm experiencing, you're here. So I welcome the divine in presence, knowing that I can never have an experience apart from God. It's not possible. So we're going to be really feeling into what we're experiencing. Welcome is what we say interiorly to ourselves. Welcome. Welcome. And we have added two little sentences, and they're in your brochure. The two little sentences, you will see how they directly address that human condition. The first is, I let go of the desire for security, affection, control. I don't need to know if an energy center is going off. And I don't have to figure out which energy center is going off. What I am doing is I'm just recognizing I have energy centers. And I let go of the desire. We might change that back. It used to be I let go of my desire. Because that's really the truth. It goes back to the question of our goodness. For whatever reason, God made us this way. And I don't get it either. But we're this way. So I'm not fighting the fact that I have a need for security, affection, and control. And so do you. It's just where we're looking to have it met. Okay? So I don't fight the fact that I need love. You need love. We need a sense of control, or that space we say thus far and no further. You need security. I need security. But it's letting God manifest it versus what I think it should look like, who I think should love me, how I think it should be, Mary's agenda versus what God is providing. So I let go of the desire for security, affection, and control as I think it should manifest, trusting fully in the one that loves me is going to and is providing it. And finally, as kind of a cleaning the very base floor, I let go of the desire to change what I'm experiencing. I let go of the desire. Jesus put it this way, your will not mine be done in Gethsemane. Did Jesus want to die? I really think that not. But that the whole truth of it was, we're not asked what we're wanting, it's are we willing? I am willing, if this be your will, to walk through it. So in this little practice, we manifest that by the statement, I let go of the desire to change what I'm experiencing. So the movement is to pick it up by feeling into, breathing into, and focusing on what I'm experiencing in the now. We're going to welcome it, and then interiorly, we're going to say these two little sentences. That's all. Allowing spirit to do with whatever needs to be done. So, take a breath. I'll say it out loud and you pray interiorly. Go into that place that's beckoning for your attention. That sensation or tightness, anywhere in your physical being that is calling you. And just feel into it. Welcome. Welcome. I let go of the desire for security, affection, and control. Stay one with whatever it is you're experiencing, and if it moves, allow your attention to move right with it. Welcome. I let go of the desire to change what I'm experiencing. Welcome. The sensation may intensify or move, or it may dissipate. Welcome. I let go of the desire to change what I am experiencing. I let go of the desire for security, affection, and control. And when you're ready, you can come back to the front with your eyes. What's happening?
There's a sense of equanimity that returns.
Peace. Anyone have it intensify? I'm seeing some heads shake. There's always change with welcoming. It's not always that it goes away. It sometimes intensifies. But what begins to radically change is our relationship with what's happening. What else is happening? Back. He can welcome very well, too.
Thank you. I usually have a lot of back problems, and when I'm conscious, as I just was, that I have this pain, and I welcome it and let go, the pain subsides because I know God is and Jesus are with me. So that's the indwelling that I feel when I recognize the experience.
I found myself wondering whether it was security, affection, or control.
Thank you. Didn't anybody else think that? Like, I wonder what's happening? The beauty of this practice, we used to teach them as four separate sentences. What I found is, one, the freedom that we don't have to know. If it's meant to know, like that food story I told you, that was for my healing at that time. Most of the time, it's just garbage on the way out. But we will often usually pick the one we think sounds better. Does anybody know a control freak? Do they think they are control freaks? No, because that's the beauty. Remember, this is what I love about this work. The unconscious, by definition, is unavailable to me. See, the little false self is going to tell me, you can figure this out. First of all, if you didn't have the little commentary, this is crazy, I wonder what everybody else is thinking, then I'm not doing my job, because that's what the false self is supposed to say. Dismantle me. Like, you could dismantle me. You need me. You're miserable. You've been miserable your whole life, and now you want to be happy. That's what the false self tries to say. You need me. So what we're doing is we're just opening it up, because what I have found is, as I go through it through the years, different energy centers at different times have been more predominant. There is no question in that. And sometimes you might honestly feel a pop. It's just like something popped. But most of the time they're so tied together. Like, what can make me more insecure than there is a threat to my affection? Oh, you don't like me? So then what do we tend to do is function through controlling the do you know how they're all integrally connected? So we'll have the question, and the beauty of the dance is, that's not my piece to figure out. That's the good news, folks. I'm just asked to consent to what it is and turn it over. What else is happening?
It was like I just was so relaxed, and I it was like it was black, and I had a red square. I don't know why, but it was peace. I wasn't saying, where is anything going or relaxing, or I wasn't talking.
It's nice not to talk. Also, that's what I say. As we go through lunch, one of the things I'm going to suggest is you talk politics at your table. You want to get some good practice in? One of the things that often happens is, one, we're in a beautiful setting. Two, we had wonderful centering prayer, and we're going to have more. And on retreat settings, what happens sometimes is we come into a lot of peace where it's like, yeah, I can just... And we also did this prayer with you seated with your eyes closed. Please understand, this prayer is a practical tool for on the go. When the person is walking to you and you see that look on their face, a quick body scan is all it takes. When you hear, you know, when you pick up the phone, you can tell by the tone of the voice right away. And I used to use welcoming little post-its all around. That's when, and I'm a gut person, so it was my gut. It's like, it's real easy to focus on because it goes like that. Yeah. People think you're listening. And what you're doing is you're sinking in and welcoming and letting go. And you are listening. To be honest with you, you're listening in a clearer, cleaner way. Because the rest of the time, you're reacting. Right?
Yeah.
And if you want to know that great line, if you think you're transformed, go home for Thanksgiving. That is, we're usually in such a reactive mode. Welcoming breaks it. And what you're doing is you're taking a moment and breathing in. This prayer practice really goes 30 to 60 seconds in the heat of the moment. But it's like anything else. That's with practice. It's practice, practice, practice. And this prayer practice just becomes part of your very fiber of your being. But you only get that way when you practice. It's like that Dancing with the Stars. So we're going to start and we're going to do it very concretely, step by step. But know that you can take this into the field and into your lives. One of the things I'm going to suggest that you do is you pick an area of your life or a relationship or a particular person or situation that you commit to using this practice with daily. The more you practice, the more there is to practice with, and the easier the practice becomes. Haven't you found that with centering prayer? If you're sitting every day, it's easier to sit every day. If you miss a couple days, it's very hard to show up back to the chair. So it's like exercise. The more you do it, the easier it is to do, and it just becomes part of the flow. So with welcoming, if you are very relaxed today, see how you feel when somebody says something that your head says, no, that's not right. You're an idiot. But don't go on the thoughts. Go into the body or just, you know, with something. So thank you for sharing because we really work because the more you practice, the more you'll know. Yes, Gus.
Hi, I'm a 12-stepper. And one of the spiritual axioms I ran into after a few years that I hated was anytime I'm disturbed, regardless of the cause, the problem is with me. I hated it. And finally, after enough pain, I began to wear it like a mantle. And when I knew that I was disturbed, an afflictive emotion, I love that term, when I could sense them, I knew that there was my false self system or whatever was going off, and I had a problem. I then read the poem by Rumi, The Guest House. And so my simple, very quick practice of the welcoming prayer is simply, who's here? And where are you? And if I ask myself that question sitting at a traffic light, there's usually an answer.
Thank you. Rumi's poem, The Guest House, is one of the premier ones. And I want to give you another little one. It's another Rumi. If God said, Rumi, pay homage to everything that has helped you enter my arms, there would not be one experience of my life, not one thought, not one feeling, not any act I would not bow to. Welcoming enables us to say yes to God's grace in every experience without judging it. It doesn't have to be good or bad. You use the term afflictive emotion. I haven't used that term. I've just said emotion or feeling. And I've asked you to be in your body because the truth of the matter is you never have a thought without a corresponding body sensation and feeling associated. But most of us get tangled up in between the thought and the feeling level. So the body is the one place that I tend to ground it best in because it doesn't lie and it leads me to where I need to go. But listen to this little one. This is by Pesha Gertler. Finally, on my way to yes, I bumped into all the places where I said no to my life. All the untended wounds, the red and purple scars, those hieroglyphics of pain carved into my skin, my bones. Those coded messages that send me down the wrong street again and again. Where I find them, the old wounds, the old misdirections, and I lift them one by one close to my heart and I say, holy, holy. This is where we begin to embrace that we were talking about before, that we've had our cultural conditioning and everything has embedded us with certain paths that may have very important truths, but aren't the whole truth. That the invitation to say yes to God means we're willing to look at and be with and even let go of whatever it is that is coming forth. In love, for love, and to love. It's because God loves us so much that we're being asked to let go, lighten up, and be a little freed up. So let's take a moment to check back in with that self. How's the body doing? There's been a lot of words. How's your brain feeling? If there's confusion, just allow yourself to really breathe into and feel into whatever it is you are experiencing in this moment. Knowing that there is never a moment when God is not present. Welcome. Welcome. I let go of the desire for security, affection, and control. Stay one with whatever it is you are feeling and physically connected to. I let go of the desire to change what I'm experiencing. Welcome. Welcome. And when you're ready, this little movement to be aware that something's going on, that's the first one. So in the beginning, it's helpful, that's what I say, to have certain check-in times with yourself. The body will start to talk if it's listened to. But for most of us, we've been on override so long that we don't check in there. So when you get up in the morning, that's a great time because the body's usually talking a lot. But really to sink into and to feel into and welcome and let go of. In the midst of my day, it's helpful to schedule times where you just check in with yourself. At work, in one situation, I found that the restroom was the only place people didn't talk to me. And so I would go in there and just stand in front of the mirror at the sink, and just to breathe and see where I was, because I don't know about you, but I have a tendency, what the Quakers call it, is outrunning the spirit. You know, get a little coffee in you and get up and running and you're just out into your day. And it would just be like, just to settle in. Okay, where am I? Who am I? And then just to breathe into and welcome and let go. And then go about your day. The beauty of this practice is the more you practice it, the more it's there for you. On a very spontaneous, I find that in my own experience, and I hope in yours, you will start to dream welcoming. It noodles its way into the unconscious, and then it'll start to be part of your dreams. Because it's an active, living consent that we're talking about, that's just kind of, it begins to work us. And then in the beginning, we have to practice it a lot to get comfortable with it. But once it's in there, it begins to work us. Why? Because God loves you so much and your consent is heard. And so, you know what? the healing, God wants to heal us. But until we surrender to be healed, it won't happen. I look at it this way. If you go into your doctor and you do all the talking and you leave your doctor's visit, are you very satisfied? It's like, I want to say where I am, maybe. But then what I'm really there for is what? Help! Help! So my feeling is that's what these practices allow. It's the help. Okay, now I know there's something going on, and so I'm giving it back to you. And that's where you see welcoming begins to allow whole new patterns to emerge. In very simple, very concrete ways. So what was your experience second time around? You think you'll remember it?
I have a resentment toward a person, and I want to love her and be good with her and forgive her. But when I started thinking about her, I got this fluttering in my chest.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's due to security or whether she... I don't know those three things.
Right.
And so what?
You don't have to. That's the whole beauty. This is the good news. And if you really get this, you'll understand welcoming. You don't have to know anything. What you know is there's a fluttering in your chest. You have the added awareness that there may be a resentment with another person. But we don't have to. It's not a puzzle to be figured out up here. It's an experience to be lived in down here. So what we're doing is we're feeling and breathing into that fluttering in the chest. We're welcoming it, and we're turning it to God, trusting that God can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves.
Okay. I didn't go on with it.
So this is done in retrospect. It seems to me that the intense feeling comes when things are happening and you don't have the luxury to all of a sudden, I accept, I do this, I do that. Because you've got, whether it's anger or lust or gluttony or whatever, you are right there.
Yes, that's welcoming. She's tying it to thinking of someone else to bring it up, but what you are saying is vital, Carol. Welcoming has to be now.
But I don't have time because the situation doesn't go away from me. I'm forced, so to speak, to be there, whether it's an argument or a food table full or, you know.
Exactly.
I can't get away from it.
You don't have to.
So how do I all of a sudden think? How do I have, there's a lot of thinking going on here.
No, I'm sorry, there shouldn't be a lot of thinking going on here.
Okay, go away thinking.
No. You're engaged in what you're doing. You're engaged in what you're doing. Okay? And someone is coming up to you. Like, describe a situation. Like you're serving or somebody's bugging you or an argument is happening. Like, give me a situation that you think welcoming would be helpful in, but you can't stop in the midst of.
I'm having an argument with my husband.
Okay. Where's he? Okay. So we can demonstrate.
You know, I mean, he's coming back. I have gone like this.
Yes. Okay.
But I can't walk
Maybe
away
I have.
Because that won't make...
This is the beauty of it. Okay, this is what's so important. You don't have to walk away. What you do is you take a breath. I heard it. Okay. At times we have the luxury of knowing. At other times in the heat of the moment. But remember, Most of the time we're unconscious, okay? So when we're into unconsciousness, you don't even know there is prayer or God or welcoming. It doesn't exist. What I'm hearing you say is, now when I'm in the midst of an argument and I am conscious that I'm in the midst of an argument, do you know that difference? That's a huge difference. When I'm reactive, I'm not conscious. It's like you pushed that, I did that. What's happening with welcoming and with these prayer practices, you did that and I'm doing this. But I'm aware, wow, look at that, I'm going to hit him. Do you know the difference? Do you see that as a miracle? The awareness is all of a sudden there that something is going on, and the kicker is, I have a choice. Breathing into, coming into being, welcoming, what I have found is often that I do need to speak up and say something. When I speak out of anger, in anger, do people hear you? But anger tells you something, and I often need to be pushed into a corner to speak up because I don't want to. Believe it or not, I'm conflict avoidant. So the anger keeps coming and coming and coming, but the difference is it's letting go enough to be human enough to say whatever you need to say. So it might not always be pretty. It might be stop it, or leave me alone, or I can't do this right now, or whatever it is. But it's allowing grace and God into the moment and into, he's already there, or she or it or whatever it is. It's already there, but we're so engaged in that automatic response that we're not there. So welcoming begins to bring us into the equation. Did you ever have it where you got up in the morning, like my mornings? I would get up, I would do my Lexio, I would do my sit, I would drive to work, and I could get into something, and you would never know that I started out the morning in an hour and a half of prayer. Exactly. I used to just tell people, can you imagine me if I didn't pray? But it would be like, where did it go? Where did all that, you know, I was doing everything I had felt I had control of before I entered the maelstrom. Well, because consciously I was choosing the values and I was doing everything I could. What I began to switch, and this is the switch that Thomas Keating helped with. Everybody who pushes your buttons is your greatest gift. It's exactly what Gus told us. So that person that drives you up a wall, they're God's gift to you, not the reverse, because how else can we get to our stuff? If we're around sweet people that are sweet and love us, they're easy. They're like peanut butter and jelly. It's the people that drive us nuts where the healing is usually really happening. So begins to look at it that when it's coming up, I'm at least aware in the process that I can breathe and welcome. And in a pinch, I let go of the desire to change. That's the pinch one. Trusting that God is doing and in the process. So it is meant to be aware, but awareness is like any other muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. You know that scripture, we just had it. Those who have will be given more, and those who the little they have will be taken away. I always thought that was nasty until I looked at it from a level of awareness or consciousness. if I do not actively use and choose to use the consciousness I've been given, which I didn't tell you this little piece. Carl Jung described it this way, that people are 10% conscious and 90% unconscious. And he said Jesus Christ was a fully conscious human being. Mary Murzowski put it at about 6% and 94%. But let's go with that 90-10, okay? That means for 10 things I have done this morning, I am fully conscious and aware of my motivation for doing one of them. The other 9 have mixed motivation. And the gospel message is what? Repent, change the direction you're looking for happiness, and changing your motivation. So the more I'm willing to do that, the more I become aware of all, not all at once, but piece by piece. So in the midst of the argument, all of a sudden it might be like, wow, look at this. Did you ever have that where all of a sudden you kind of, it's like you wake up? And it's like, okay, I might want to argue, I might not, but I don't have to. Under the false self, you have to do it. It's like you're being, you don't have a choice. This becomes you have a choice. So it takes a lot of practice, and I'm not saying that everybody will go out from here and all of a sudden you'll get hit by something and the first thing that'll pop in your head is, welcome, welcome, welcome. Because it's not that kind of stuff. It's nitty-gritty gory. And what I have found is especially some of my hardest pieces and biggest healings have been when welcoming has driven me to speak in anger. I mean, to speak about what the anger is teaching me. Not to say, but those are the hard things for me. The stuff I didn't want to say that I found I had to say. So it is meant to be. You can't do it in a vacuum. But what I am saying is sometimes afterwards, and you know that you're having trouble with somebody, to think about them, I can come back then and work on my stuff. But it's not a premeditated or out there. So long answer, but that's a really important piece.
Hi, my name is Doris from Port Orange. I heard about the whelping peril a long time ago. And some, I used to do it in and out, you know, do it here. And every time I got remembered, I did it. Well, a couple of months ago, I consciously started doing it. And I put it on the visor of my car, you know. So when I got in the car, you know, it's a welcome prayer, you know. But then I got out of the car, and now the prayers always seem to be singing a song in my head, you know. So when I go during the day, I have the welcome prayer in my head. And then a situation came up about 2 months ago when somebody said something to me, and I guess, you know, the welcome prayer is sings a song in the back of your head, whether you're conscious or unconscious of it. And I completely had no reaction. So it's, yeah, it's funny. So you made me laugh when you said you got to go to sleep at night dreaming about the welcome prayer, because it's kind of like still in my brain when I go to sleep.
It is, and that's the invitation I'm going to be with over lunch. Give yourself the ability. Do you like the food? What's it taste like? I hope you talk to other people, because this isn't meant like I'm in a little vacuum, just like what is my experience? But how do I relate to others, but yet stay present to my own inner experience and what God may be doing in me or through you to bring something up in me? So there's one more back here.
I want to see if I understood you. I have a person in my life for 40 years that has done many, many cruel and mean things over the 40 years to people, etc. And I've come to terms with it as a family member. And he comes to the house, I show my love, and et cetera, et cetera. And I found that he's getting better as he gets older. He's mellowing. But when he says things, I find myself being suspect because of the long history of what he's done. So I think that what you're saying is to let go and let God worry about the suspect and not you worry about the suspect.
Or that what begins to happen for in my experience of welcoming, especially with long-term relationships and those family, that we stop expecting the good or the bad and we be open to it changing. Do you know how many people we expect to be as they are? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it's that whole thing that Jesus said, like a prophet at home is never... Because is it them or is it that I always put them in the situation that that's... I expect them to react, so they always react. So what welcoming begins to do is to look at myself honestly and to get real honest inside so that their stuff is their stuff. I had it with somebody that what it enabled me to do, they said something really inappropriate, but instead of our normal dance, which we would get into, I simply looked at them and I didn't react, and I could tell they were off. They didn't know what to do because I wasn't reacting. I never saw my part in it, let me put it that way. That they then got justified because my reaction. And I just really looked at them incredulous. Because I wasn't feeling the need to engage. And you know what happened? They stopped the conversation and walked away, which is always what I wanted to happen. But before, I tried to talk it there. This time, I just didn't pick up the string. So sometimes they do change, sometimes they don't. But we take ourselves out of the mix and we allow people to be as they choose to be. And what I've found is when I'm not rescuing or enabling or getting in there or correcting, they have to decide, is that really what you think? Boy, what a difference it is when I'm not telling you that you can't think like that or you shouldn't think like that or why you're wrong. You know what I mean? So it can change. But it's not about them. It's about us and what God's doing in us. I think of what you mentioned. I think of Thérèse of Lisieux. You know how she picked that one little old nun who was really nasty and she decided to smile extra sweetly? And the nun eventually said to her, "What is it about me that you find so lovable?" And she knew it was God because she didn't love this, you know, she knew it wasn't her. And that's what I found. Welcoming allows me to be around some people that I would never choose to be around. But that maybe God can do something through me because I'm getting my stuff. And that's what you get to practice. So when we come back at 12:45. So I hope you bring back your experience so we can have more practice.